Well, it'd be good if you'd pray. Thinking this morning about the cause of God, I believe the Lord has a cause in this earth. The Lord wants everyone to be saved. And wanted us to consider, how important do we think the cause of God is? The challenge, our lives, we get many things that we make important in life. People have a lot of hobbies and things that they put in their lives to be important. And it's right to have. I've always seemed to be a passionate person about things. Many people notice that when I play sports or do activities or whatever, many people have commented about how hard I go at it, how much effort I put into just a friendly little game. Well, if you play me, you better play hard. Because I play to win, and I can shake your hand at the end of it, but I just play that way. And I, from the things I've done in life, when I go fishing with my son, I aim to catch more fish than he does. And when we hunt, well, I aim to kill the bigger deer if I can, and I'll rub it in when I get through. I'm out to win, and I'm that way. I'm that way with the Lord too. I'm that way in my life, and I think those things are all right. But I want us to be challenged today about the cause of God, and do we really put importance on His cause? He has a cause. Yeah. His desire is worldwide. Yes. It's to every soul everywhere. Yes. He is trying to make an impression upon humanity. And really, folks, God could impress humanity if He wanted to. But He's chosen a way to do it. And He's chosen through His people. Yeah. The cause of God is carried on through people. That's right. But He wants people to be saved, but we're the agents of that salvation.
Yes, we are.
He wants people to be able to look at God and realize that God loves them.
Yes,
that God is real. God, the things of God pays off. The way people see that is through us. Well, is that cause important to us? Because if it's important to us, it's going to mean a sacrifice to the cause. People have sacrificed their lives for many causes, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm challenged to know whether I would ever have been a big enough man to do some of the things that people sacrifice their life for. I've been a history buff and read about a lot of history of war and particular battles that had particular men in it that gave themselves to that cause that they had. I mean, I generally gave it to them. They believed in something and they gave it, and they put it in the hands of common men to dictate what they did. And you know that those men in many cases just randomly gave their life for the cause. I've always looked at it and said, well, if I was out there fighting, at least give me a fighting chance. Do you know in war it's just that way? There's been many a battles to where a general sitting behind the lines looked and said, send this unit here to spare the, or to win the day or to win the whole, knowing that this unit was going to be totally destroyed. And if you're in there, you're just a part of the human herd. You're just a part of the cause that just given to it. And I've looked at that before and said, well, that's fine, but when I'm doing it, I look and say, if it's going to be annihilated, I ain't going. Don't have no say in it. Just go and do it. Men give themselves to causes like that and die. Yep. And die for causes like that. I think it was not an honorable thing at all, but I can't help from wondering the young men that flew into the World Trade center, they believed in something. They had to have. They got the young lives with all ahead of them and gave, just went and got put so much into it to do it. Oh, I think it was hideous and wrong and evil even. But they gave themselves for a cause that they thought was bigger than them. They gave themselves without thought, but with abandon, with knowing. They did that knowing that their earthly life was over. But they gave it. Well, that's not for much of a cause to destroy people and to hurt and all those kind of things. But God has a cause. And I want to challenge us today to consider how much up in my life do I put the cause of God versus my cause versus my life? Is it important? Because God wants everybody to be saved, and as an agent of that cause, I am going to be able to affect people. So I'll look at the starting scripture, very familiar scripture. It's in 1 Samuel. Most everybody will recognize this scripture. Oh, let's see. 1 Samuel 17. 20th verse says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left his sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For the Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defile Israel is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I done? Is there not a cause? Now, this is very interesting scripture. I've always loved this scripture. It speaks to me in so many ways. It speaks of the very root natures of people to me. I mean, it really does. To say that Eliab wasn't a little right that David wanted to see the battle, of course he did. I mean, what young man with all the stories that was told and all of the things that must have come down into David's life, at that time it was very common for their ancestry to be handed down over the campfire, if you will, to be handed down from generation to generation. They didn't necessarily have a volume of books to read, but you know Jesse told his sons about the heritage of Israel. Surely he wasn't that he knew about those things, but surely he knew the things that happened before in their lives. I find it impossible for him to not to know how they shouted when they come around the walls of Jericho. Of course he knew when they shouted and the walls fell. I think he knew of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Of course he knew. He knew those things about it. To say that young man didn't want to see that battle, of course he wanted to see that battle. But it all speaks to the very heart of the matter. Why did the king say to his men, whoever will kill this man? Why did he put a put a value to it. Well, because there wasn't nobody stepping up to do it. Gonna have to prime them a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Gonna have to prime them a little bit. I do the same thing sometimes. We've been out too much and all of a sudden somebody calls and says, Brother Marty, you know, been praying. Well, I'd like to have a few nights meeting. We've been out for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Everybody wants to go home. We want to tire. The children's murmuring, complaining. Sorry, children. They know I use them from sometimes. And sometimes when things happen like that, and I say, feel like the Lord wants us to go. I feel like I ought to go and do this and on and on and on. And so I pull out the bribe factor. I pull out the idea that you're going to be greatly rewarded for this one. This one, the Lord's really going to give you some stuff on this one. Feel like this. And so I can a lot of times alter their mind. If it gets to a certain point, then the willingness begins to change. This is going to be more worth it if I can get more out of it. That's what he was trying to do, no doubt. You'll be free in Israel. You can have my daughter. That means you're a son-in-law. I mean, I'll bring you into the family. Come on, I need some help here. Somebody do something here. Folks, if we have to be bribed in the Lord, there's something wrong. This is more than... David didn't have to be bribed. When David come up there, it wasn't about what they was going to give to him and all the gains that he can get. He come up there with the idea in this young, foolish mind of his, to them, he come up there in the idea that I've been with the Lord. And I was foolish enough to believe the stories and how the armies of God, as long as God was with them, they can't fail. And the people of God can't fail. And there's no army or man on the earth that can defy God. And God can do His bidding and do His work. And God will take care of us in any situation. And went up there with a faith and He took care of the lion and He took care of the bear and He's helped me in life. And so He walks up there and this big piece of flesh walks out there. And in my mind, David is just looking and saying, well, who's going to get him? That's not, folks, listen. I've heard the stories of God's deliverance, of God's blessings, of God's power, and of God's hand. I believe when they told me the story that the children of Israel crossed that Red Sea on dry land. I believed in the pillar of fire. I believe the cloud of day and the pillar of fire. I believed in the deliverances. I sung the songs of deliverance. I believed the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob. I believe that I'm an ancestor of that one that had faith in God. I've seen us in all the victories and all that. And I believe that. And folks, this story isn't right. This story isn't right that the armies of God are backing down. It isn't right that we're all afraid of that situation. That's not the way this story is going to end. It can't be told that way. It can't be told in defeat. We have a God that's able. We got a cause that's bigger than we are. Are we in our generation going to allow God to shrink down that He can't take care of our problems and our needs? Now there's a giant arose in our world and we ain't big enough to take care of it. God ain't big enough to defend us in it. Now we're going to have to all back down and cow down to an enemy that's bigger than we are. David said, let not be so.
That's right.
Well, another human part. There's a big brother here. And little brother's starting to shame him. So the big brother says, that I know the naughtiness of your heart. You know, that was shame. Yep. That was shame. It wasn't supposed to be the little brother that did it. It was supposed to be the big brother. If I'm not mistaken, of Eliab was a tall man and taller than all of his brothers. And David was a little ruddy boy. And a little ruddy boy comes around and says, let's get him. And Eliab said, I know the naughtiest you are and you are talking that way. And David asked the most serious of all questions. Is there not a cause? Is it not bigger than me? If I am foolish and go and lay my life down to it, can you blame me? The cause is bigger than David. Yep. If God be diminished in the earth, what chance have any of us? If God can't deliver us at our altars, then what chance do we have? Right. If God can't be in our life enough to give us victory over sin and self in this world, then what hope does anyone have? Yeah. We surely have a cause. Yeah. Well, do we not have a cause? He looks at one and says, do we not have a cause? Then he turns and then looks the other way and repeats the words. It's like this. Is there not a cause? I ask you, is there not a cause? What's the answer? Well, the answer is there's a cause, but we're afraid. This is a big man. This looks impossible. But the cause is too important.
Yes.
The cause is too important. So let us consider in our own lives today. Do we elevate the cause of God? Is it bigger than we are? We don't always see eye to eye. People don't. You never will. Will we? I mean, you might say, this is true. I actually had someone that come to a meeting that I was holding, and when asked about the meeting, he didn't like the way I combed my hair. Well, when I was told that, I said, all the problems that I have, and he picked that? I could have a lot more to say that was relevant than that. But he really didn't like the way that I combed my hair, was hung up on it, I suppose. I didn't like it. Well, that seems kind of foolish to me, but we won't always get along. I say this way. We won't always see eye to eye. We're human about things. I'll say this, that just in case some of you are married, as a good bit of information here, that you all that's married, that you probably, husband and wife, probably won't see everything eye to eye. So if you haven't run into that problem yet, just wait, because you probably won't see everything the same. So just wait. If you've been married, you just wait. It'll be coming. So what do you do about it? I'll have my way. You'll have your way. And we'll all have those ways. How about God's way? I mean, honestly, what about God's cause? How can we say to a lost world, I got an answer for you. I got an answer for life. We as a people have an answer to life. We got an answer on how y'all to live what life. And then me and my wife can't get along. What about the cause? Well, isn't there a cause that's bigger than my own getting my own way? Well, surely, when I put it down into the perspective, maybe I have a disagreement with my brother. Perhaps there's a rift there or something there between us. What about the cause of God? When we say, I was going to tell you, Christ is the way. Jesus in your life is the way. Jesus will make a difference in your life. Jesus can deliver you. Jesus can help you.
Amen.
But what about my brother? That hurts the cause.
Yes, it does.
It's terrible to the cause. It doesn't lift God up in what he can do for us. What can you say of it? David, at this point in his life, had a cause in his heart that no matter what, God needs to be lifted up. For He is the salvation of Israel. God is the answer for Israel. We've got to say to God, David, if you look in the scriptures, you'll find that David was always the high water mark for kings.
That's true.
He wasn't the first king.
No.
But he was the high water mark until they said that people either followed God in, like David, or they didn't.
Yes.
Because David was the mark that he followed that way, but he didn't always perform well. So I want to look at another scripture in 2 Samuel. Let's see, 2 Samuel 12, I think. This is after David's great failure, and Nathan the prophet comes to him. In 14th verse it says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. This was what the prophet said, what the heart of God was to David.
Yes.
This is what you did, David. But David, You prayed. I can read the Psalms. David was a praying man.
Yes.
Said he was.
Yes,
he meditated upon thy law day and night. He said in his Psalms.
Yes.
He said expressions like, I love thy law, Lord.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
David penned the songs and sung them. He prayed to God. Don't we advocate those things?
Yes.
Don't we advocate the right way of life? Devotion to life. Consecrating ourselves. Those kind of things. Well, of course we do. Do you know David's life said that they were worthless? If prayer and meditation and singing can't keep you from adultery and murder, is not what the enemies would say?
Yes.
Every time someone goes down and has preached the gospel or lived for the Lord and said those kind of things and then it went to the ways of the world and done that, what has the world said? Didn't work. Doesn't help you. Doesn't do you any good. What? Look at you. So get up in the morning and have your devotion and prayer. Read your book and do all those kind of things. You go to your service with piousness and do all those kind of things. And then you don't treat the people around you right. They'll get it every time. They'll get it every time. The cause will be hurt by that every time. Because we don't have enough desire for the cause of God above our own. Many times we take our own fleshly way in it. I want to live for the Lord. I want to do what's right. I want to go through the things that I'm supposed to do. Go to service and all that kind of stuff. There's something so much bigger than all that. We can say that all those things of techniques of religion that the Lord has taught us are worthless if they don't keep us from adultery and murder. What good did it do you, David? There's heathen people out there that wouldn't do it. The world out there, there's a lot of people in the world that won't do that. So where's the cause? How important is the cause of God when I've done that? It brings a great black mark. The world can't hurt the cause of God. You expect things from sinners.
Yes.
But people saying that they're a part of God can sure hurt the cause of God. You know what? Bad living will testify stronger than any preacher can preach and fix. I ain't got the gift to fix bad living. I can't out-preach or the Spirit of God doesn't work in a way to overcome bad living.
No.
I can stand here and preach, and when your neighbors come in here and know that you're doing wrong and not treating people right and those kind of things, I won't be able to preach over that. There's no way. So how important to you today is the cause of God beyond me? Yeah, somebody can say something against me, but so what? So what? It doesn't hurt anything eternally for someone to badmouth me or to run me down. But what about the cause of God? Oh, it's one thing that I'm amazed with the Apostle Paul and love his writings and the intensity of his spirit and how he loved the Lord because he always elevated the cause of God above his situation.
Yes.
I am willing to be accursed, he said. That's such a powerful scripture where he said, I'm willing to be accursed from Christ in that. He was willing to put himself into a place of subject to where he could actually be endangered. He wasn't giving up his soul, but he was actually willing to put into a place of danger for the cause of God.
That's right.
Because it's bigger than I am.
Yes.
It's worth more than I am. I might diminish, but let it increase. You remember John the Baptist?
Yes.
John the Baptist wasn't going after his own cause.
No.
He said, let me decrease and him increase. I'm not worthy to unbuckle his shoes. Don't look to me as anything. It's down with me and up with him. The cause of God. I can't save you and he can.
Right.
So Lord help us. Listen to the scriptures. Scripture over in 1 Corinthians. What's your number one cause? I have seen many times and I've held my peace. I've seen many times people in the expression of their causes express them against the glory of God. Have it above. Lord help us. Our first cause should be Christ. Our first cause should be His cause. in 1 Corinthians, 6th chapter, 1st verse, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Again, this is the expression of the Apostle Paul and his love and devotion to God to put God's cause above the things of human need. Lift up God. Yes. That's what he was trying to do, is teach them to have a concern for the cause of God above everything else. If this reigns in you and it's the most important thing to you, you'll do whatever you have to do. That it was like, I'll be honest with you, in my life, I've not always done everything just the way I wish I had. Maybe you don't have that testimony. But I've lived for the Lord quite a while, and I've been stuck out there quite a while, and I've had to say things and talk and those kind of things. Sometimes there's been error in it. Sometimes I said things hastily. And so there's been I've done things in that kind of place. And the prayer that I've had, always after the places like that where I felt like maybe I didn't do what I maybe should have done. It's always been, Lord, don't let it hurt your cause. I don't care to be humbled. I don't care to say I'm wrong, but Lord, don't allow it to hurt the cause of God. Yeah. Don't allow somebody's spirit to be so hurt that they can't pursue God. Don't allow your kingdom to suffer because I've done something. But Lord, I'll pay the price for it, but not your kingdom. Not your cause. Well, Paul's mind is this way. And he says here, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertaineth to this life? If then ye have a judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame, he said. I speak to your shame. Where's your heart? Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between this and his brother? I've come and laid the gospel as the highest of all ways of life. And set the grace of God in your all's hearts and minds just to say that it is able to keep you under the most strenuous of circumstances. Right?
Yes,
sir. And I've taught you that the ways of the world are wrong and nefarious, and the ways of the Lord are altogether right. And then you undermine that whole idea by the feuding and fussing and taking this to the public law. And you put it out there before them as if they're a higher way than the ways of God. And God, I speak to your shame. You have something so much higher than that of you in your mind, in your heart, you should have. I speak to your shame. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. That before the unbelievers. You can get Paul's heart. I'm dealing with these unbelievers, trying to get them to accept Christ, and they're going to look and say, what good does it do them? Yep. They go to your worship services, Paul. They listen to your preaching. They pray. They sing. Look what they're doing.
Yes.
Back when I was first interested in the Lord and saved and went to this little congregation of people over where I grew up, and there was a church here on Route 20, and about a couple hundred yards down there was a beer joint. And after being there for about a month, my testimony was I went to both places, and they fight a lot less down here. This is a much more peaceful and genteel place than this is. It was a true testimony. But it was a shameful one.
Right.
It was a shameful one. If I was there to look at the two and say, which one would I go to get into a good fight? It'd be that one. But it was an awful testimony, and it ought to have been to their shame, because they was trying to testify to these people down here about a better life and a better way. But they could hardly prove it. Well, Lord, help us.
Yes.
The apostle says, but for there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to the law one with another. And here is the question. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not suffer rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Paul was asking a serious question.
Yes, he was.
They call Jesus Beelzebub for you. Jesus went through all kind of mocking and pretenses and allegations and all those kind of things. Why? A legitimate question he was saying. If this cause is important enough to you, why wouldn't you just take wrong? Folks, I want us to get this today.
Yes.
Is the cause of God bigger in your life than your own cause? Because if it is, then there'll be an element there to where you'd say, I'd rather take wrong. I'd rather be defrauded, suffer that, than the cause of God be hurt.
Yep.
I would rather suffer the wrong. I'm going to tell you something about suffering the wrong, that the scripture says that the spirit of glory will rest on you.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches us that if we suffer wrong and because we're guilty, that's no great thing. But if you suffer wrong innocently for the Lord's sake, that the spirit of glory will rest on you. Found it to be true. Yeah. God will just bless in that situation. Why would you not rather suffer the wrong for the cause of God? Why would not give a greater portion to the things of God? It's so much greater than we are, folks. Yeah. It's so much bigger than we are. That the kingdom of God would be seen in the world. That God is good. You believe that?
Amen.
You believe God's got a grace for us to do right with and no matter what situation comes our way?
Yes.
Well, of course He does. Can we love our enemies?
Yes.
Well, the Bible tells us to. But can we do it?
Yes.
Can we love those that are against us?
Yes.
Well, of course we can. Can we suffer wrong for the Lord's sake? Of course we can. If we got a cause that's bigger than we are, Lord, I want to promote your cause up. Let it come out in the end. If it won't, it'll come out in eternity. I can't be harmed or hurt by it. But Lord, the cause of God is bigger than me. Lord, help us to devote ourselves to a cause and be like David when he come up there with all the stories. Now let me tell you about some stories. got some stories in our lineage, don't we? Well, you know, I got saved and come along, and I used to be all the saints. I had all these stories, known all these people, and all these things, and I had these stories of these brothers like Darius Gibson, and one of these brothers, I believe it was him, went to get a ticket. The Lord told him he's going somewhere. Didn't know how to get there. Didn't have no money. Goes up with his hands behind him. Lord told him, go get it. Goes up there. Somebody puts money in his hand. And he gets up there. Gets up and pays for his ticket.
Yeah.
We going to tell those stories? That's glory to God. God's able to take care of us, isn't he?
Yes.
I mean, well, there's all kinds of stories like that where God stepped in and done something that was extra special. And I've got the names. I got the names of the people that we know all the way. We can go all the way back to Jesus and Apostle Paul and Peter, and we can come right through the martyrs, and we can come right on up through. And I got my names, and I never met Darius Gibson. He died in 68. I was born in 62. I never met him. I never met Brother Stover. I don't know. I never know Brother Fred Pruitt. I don't know those. You probably knew some of those guys. I don't know those guys, all that, but I heard the testimonies of the grace that God gave them and how they gave themselves to a cause.
Yeah.
Amen.
It was bigger than they was. I went to Brother Herschel Hargrave's funeral and heard the testimonies of the people that was there. One of the testimonies was something like this. They called Brother Herschel for prayer, and he didn't have gas in his car enough to go. So he drove the car until it run out of gas. And then he walked the miles it took to go pray for the one that was in his congregation. Well, Lord help us. Another testimony was, as he said, he dug in his pocket and he had a handful of change. He pulled his car up to the pumps and put that amount of change in his car and drove as far as he could to get to help somebody. I've got those vividly in my mind of people that had a cause that was, didn't make the excuses, had the cause. Brother Sammons was my pastor for years and my mentor, and told me one time a guy called him from upstate New York somewhere. Didn't even know the guy. The guy called and said, I understand you can pray the prayer of faith. I'm sick. Said, I need somebody to come pray for me. Brother Sammons got up and he said, when I got in the car, I knew I was sicker than he was.
Yeah.
Got in the car. took off driving for upstate New York in the middle of the night, saying, I know I was sicker than him. And he said, I told the Lord, Lord, if I'm not going to be able to make it if you don't help me. And he started dealing with the Lord, and the Lord come down in the car and blessed him and gave him a touch, and he was able to go on up there and lay hands on the guy and brother and prayed for the brother, and he got a touch, and the Lord blessed. Well, I got those all vividly in my mind about those things that the Lord has done. And I don't have to rely on those testimonies, because I got a whole handful of places where the Lord done that for me and helped me in those kind of places. And I can say positively, I love telling the stories because it makes God real. And it's a cause that's bigger than we are. And I come along and I say this testimony. Well, my little boy was playing at the camp meeting, was getting ready for camp meeting, and got a piece of treated wood splinter in his foot. We got it out, but it got infected. And that night in service, I think we had him prayed for, and it was kind of getting infected. And the time we got him to the house that evening, that night, that the red streaks was running up his leg, blood poisoning was starting. His hands, it had it in his foot. His hands turned beet red and swelled up like a glove's blown up with its poison in him. And it was pretty critical to his daddy, I'll tell you that. And I got down, and through the night he was fussing and couldn't sleep, and I got down and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I begged God and prayed. And somewhere in the night, God spoke peace to my soul. Just put an overwhelming peace over me. And when he did, I knew he come into that room.
Yes.
The boy quit fussing and the infection went away. God done it in an instant. That's my testimony.
Amen.
He's done it to our people. He's done it over and over. And we got that testimony. But what good is it if I don't treat you right?
That's right.
What good is it if I got a broken marriage? What good? I say those things and people listen. They can have their doubts. They can gainsay. They can wonder. We all need the Lord like that. We all need a God that can help us. But what about the cause? I want God to be that real to me. I want to be able to testify that testimony, but it's got to be believable. I can't allow it to be something else. Why would you not? Yeah, you can do that, but can you suffer wrong? Can you put down your ideas and your ways? We're not always going to be alike. Sometimes people are going to say things that's not accurate. But what are we going to do? Make a big fuss? Yeah, church of God down there, they're splitting all up. Got one side on its side fighting here and there, fighting there. Thank God I ain't nothing like that. But it's happened.
Yeah.
The thing that is always on my mind when it does. Oh Lord, does nobody care about your calls? I drop it. I take it. I do anything I could to cause this to go away. Because the cause is more important than what we are. So Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Why do you not rather suffer? Look at another scripture with me. Over in Luke 18. The idea of religion. I've said it before, but I believe God's dynamic. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like when I'm up here, I say too much. Sometimes I get pretty introspective about myself. But I've never been satisfied with mediocre. I just never have been. And when I feel like I'm performing mediocrely and I'm not giving it to, I don't accept it very well. Lord, I know you're better than that. You're not mediocre. You're not mediocre. It's to touch hearts. You can touch, Lord, you can do it. Don't allow us to settle in mediocrity. Don't allow us just to settle for a humdrum. Well, it's just Wednesday night. I don't like humdrum Wednesday nights. I don't like just getting by. Well, let's just get it over with. Let's just get it done. I don't like that kind of thing. If we're going to do it, I want to do it. I want to see how much there is in it. Let's see what we can do in it. Let's find the ultimates in it. Let's say, let's do it for the cause. Let's put our all in it for a cause. Well, I'm going to sit back and see how much you can do. Have people say, oh, I don't know about going to service, it's so dry. Well, that means you're dry. Because, I mean, somebody's got to do it. I mean, come on. Don't be pointing everywhere else. What about the cause? You got an influence on the cause. Well, if the cause is important enough, maybe I'll put something into the cause. Maybe I'll embarrass myself trying. Maybe I won't get it all right. But the cause is worth me putting something in it. I'll tell them up home, though, I don't know how much good. I'll say things like, anybody got a, and I ain't heard none. But I'll say, anybody got a poem? A song? Or something to say? Well, you know, I think it's all right to read a poem that is touching. I've read touching poems before. I read things that was in it. It's all right to say, this blessed me. I want to read you a poem. Well, come on, that ain't that much. It's the cause we're wanting. We want the cause to be elevated. We want people to come in and say, you say there's a living God? Well, he don't look like he's living here. He's a living God? Come on, help us here. It's the cause. It's not me. I don't want no praise or glory for anything. I hide back. I get out of that. I don't want that. It's not about Marty. It's about the Lord. Marty can't do nothing for you, but the Lord can. And I want the Lord to be lifted up. Listen, I ain't ashamed of it. The church of God. It's the biblical way. It's the scripture way. I ain't talking about some sect or creed. I'm talking about the living church of God. The scriptural church. I ain't ashamed of it. It's God's bride. I had a guy recently say he's a good friend of mine. He wasn't with us. He'd come and he's kind of been in there and he told me one day, it just blessed me so much. We're driving along and he says to me, he said, Marty, I learned something. I said, well, what's that? All these years, he said, and I learned something. Well, what did you learn? He said, I learned I am a member of the church of God. Praise the Lord, brother. You saved? He said, yep, you're a member. It's all it takes.
Amen.
I want that cause to be put out there and taught and lived.
That's it.
There's only one church in the scriptures. And there's only one way into it. Through Christ. And when you get in there, ain't no man put you in. Ain't no man take you out. You're there as a member of the church. You're a blood-washed one. Lord will put you in there as it pleases Him. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. I want it to be elevated.
Yes.
I want it to be lifted up. It's the truth. Well, there's a contradiction in the world. I mean, a conflict in the world. Can you live free from sin? Scripturally? Absolutely. By the power of God, you can live free from sin.
Amen.
No doubt about it. I want that to be promoted. People say, well, I can't live beyond all this. And I said to one brother, I said, we was in this thing, and I said, you don't accept it. You say it that way, but you wouldn't accept sin from me. Everybody sins. Everybody does this. I said, you wouldn't accept it from me. You come listen to me preach. Would you accept that if I started stealing from you? Well, we're just all sinners. Come on and listen. I'll preach the truth to you. Just watch your wallet. No. He wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't accept me stealing and treating him bad. Of course he wouldn't, and neither do you. We can say, well, everybody, no, you don't. I expect the things that accompany salvation out of every blood-washed one.
Amen.
The desire for holiness and righteousness and living by the Spirit of the Lord in right things. They that steal, steal no more. If you lie no more. The things that you did, do it no more.
Amen.
That's the gospel way. And I want it to be elevated. I want it to be believable. But I'll be honest with you. We can promote that doctrine till we're blue in the face. And if we don't treat people right, and we tell our lies or steal or do all that things, the Lord would say, just like he did to David, you give the enemies an occasion against the cause.
Yes.
And we should promote the cause. And so therefore I say in my failures, I say it this way, it's not God's failures, folks. God's way is perfect, and when I follow that perfect way, I can be the perfect man. And when I don't follow it with an intensity in my own heart, I can slip up and do things sometimes that isn't just right, but it isn't God's fault, it isn't His cause. God's cause can help you and I in this life, and I'm thankful that He can. Here's a passage of scripture over here in Luke. Oh, let's see, Luke 18. Two men, in the 10th verse it says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I think that would be good not to be an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I don't commit adultery. I don't do those things. And I'm glad I'm not like this publican over here. Now, do you believe he was lying there in his prayer? I believe he was telling it for what he was.
Yeah.
He said he fasted twice a week.
Yeah.
Well, he said he fasted twice a week and he was in prayer, and I doubt, I'd be very surprised if he didn't fast twice a week. So he probably fasts twice a week, and he says, I give tithes of all that I possess. I am so good that you are, God owes me. God is in debt to me for my position here, for as good as I am. I find it amazing, folks. Prayer is an avenue to God. The benefits of prayer is to help us. To see ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You ever hear somebody in prayer bless the congregation? Or maybe I didn't say it right. You ever hear somebody in use prayer as a club? We've had them before.
Yes.
Time for prayer, and somebody lead out for prayer and start airing their feelings about people around there. Lord, help me because they won't. I ain't just that kind of language. Lord, help them to get a good spirit about them. I mean, that kind of prayer. You know, that's really not what prayer is about.
No.
This man prayed. He said he did. He fasted and he prayed and he gave. All noble qualities that didn't do him a bit of good.
That's right.
They didn't help him. And they definitely didn't help the cause of God. It actually hurt the cause of God.
That's true.
When I was a young man, 16, 17 years old, I was a rebellious sort of fella. Well, I take it back. I wasn't rebellious because we didn't have any rules to rebel on. But I would have if I had rules. It's just that in my home, I had very few rules. You don't disrupt other people. You don't bother other people. You mind your own business. And other than that, you pretty well done whatever you wanted to do. That's kind of the way we done it. There may have been a little bit more than that, but it wasn't a lot of rules. We didn't have any rules. But I did have some distant influences of God in my life and all. And I played men's league softball, and this particular year, had several teams, and one of the teams had a player on it, and that player was a very religious fella. And he also was the biggest troublemaker in the county. He was religious, but he mouthed all the time. He caused fights. He caused trouble. He argued with the umpire. He was the ugliest sort of fella in the way he done things. And he comes up to me one day. He was on the field side of the field. He was in the field side. I was on the outside of the fence. And he comes up to me and says, Marty, he said, do you go to church? And I said, no. And he said, well, you need to start. And then he just walks away. And you know, that made me so mad. I sat there kind of gritting my teeth, saying, why? So I can be disliked as much as you are? His religion didn't do anything for the cause.
That's right.
It did nothing to that. Why would I want to lower the standard of my life? Almost everybody like me. Why would I want to lower it down to be like that? I didn't bully or mouth off anybody. I was very congenial with most everybody. Everybody I can make a friend with. Why would I want to lie? I was just a sinner. I was just a sinner. But there was no conflict in my mind that I ought to be like him at all. But at one of my family's funerals, the first time I ever met Mansell Doolittle, he come up to a group of us boys and said, to me specifically, I don't know what that meant, other than I'm the only one of the bunch that served the Lord. But Mansell, out of a whole group of us boys, he come up to me, and he don't even remember this, but he come up to me. And you know what Mansell said to me? He said, the Lord loves you. He was altogether different than that other thing. Touched my heart. Done something to me in there. I didn't take no immediate effects, but it done something to me that was altogether different than the other done. You know, there was a cause that's bigger than we are. There's a man here that does all these things and he fasts and he does all those things, but he hardly helps the cause. Do you know religion doesn't help the cause necessarily? Just religion doesn't lift the cause up. You can be also religious and never have anything real in you. It's the reality of Christ that we need in our lives to lift up the cause. We'll sacrifice and do whatever we have to for the one that gave himself for us. Lord, you died for me. Let me die for you. Let me give myself to you in any way that I can, that the cause may be lifted up more and more. This little group here is going to quickly go and disperse into many places. But let the effect of those that love the cause go with it. Allow everybody that I meet a lot of people, folks. And I want to tell you, no matter what your personality is, God can help you to be the witness for your day and time. To lift up the cause. I believe that. I can go all over the place. I'm not really good on deep relationships, but I can make quick ones. And I can go anywhere I can go around, I can go to the store, I can go to anywhere, and I can have a conversation about people that's going to remember me the next time I see them and say hi. And I can do it in just a few minutes, and it's not, God's helped me to be able to just be friendly and do that to people. And that's, it's not about me being recognized as something. But I want them to say, who is that guy? He is the preacher down at the church. You know how many people tell me I'm the preacher down there that I don't even know who they are? They know who I am. Things get around there. And I want it to be said that there's something about that there. If I can, that the cause of God may be elevated, that when people need something, they can look and say, there's something genuine. There's something real there. Seeing them respond and act in a way, there's something real there. I don't know how accurate I'll get this story, kind of vague in my mind, but I want to tell it anyway. And I'm going to tell, I know he don't want me to tell this. Maybe he won't hear this, because I know he's a backward fella, but I'm going to tell you who it was anyway, because it was Brother Danny Gallenbach, okay? He's a dear brother of mine. I love him dearly. And I think he lives it and loves the Lord.
Yes.
And it was in business, and they had these fixtures. Brother Ed knows what I'm talking about. They had these like Mardell fixtures. They do these wooden fixtures like cabinets and all this stuff for these stores. And there's a big price on these things. Brother Carl knows one. He done it some installs on it. And they did these, and then they'd have to ship them from where they made them and take them to various places across the country. So they was under a very heavy, tight schedule and a shipment of these that they had built. And these things are thousands of dollars worth of these things. Thousands and thousands of dollars worth of fixtures. Got the truck pulls in. The men are there. They've already got the place ready. They're ready to put these fixtures in. It's a tight thing. They open up that thing and the load shifted. Now, I know you guys that are truckers know what I'm talking about. You get a load in there, you got to get strapped down because the motion of the highway over thousands of miles of running is going to get a load. That means that the stuff in there is going to start doing this together. Yeah. It don't take long to make a mess out of something that's not strapped down. That load shifted on there and got loose in that truck. And they pulled it in. And the man that Brother Dan was on this job, and the man that was there seen that, and Brother Dan hadn't. And the testimony of the guy was, now I'm about to see whether this man's real or not. I'm going to watch. I know his testimony's high. I'm going to see how this man reacts. So here he comes to see it. And you know the guy said when Brother Dan seen that he had to say, now there's a man of God. Now there's a man of God.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Thousands upon thousands of dollars lost. The job in a disarray. And how are you going to act? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the cause was not hindered, but exalted in the trouble.
Yes.
We'll have troubles that will either damage the cause of God in our lives, or it will exalt it in our... If you look at your problems this way, as an opportunity to exalt God.
Yes.
I am under the gun. I told a young man one time that was in a hard place. They hadn't lived for the Lord, and they was in the middle of a separation deal. The wife was leaving. The young man was devastated. They hadn't lived godly, and there was a lot in there. And they wanted to work, and this guy come to the Lord for help. Wanted to be saved. Wanted things different. And so, he did. Got saved. And this was the challenge that I gave him. You're in a very special place. Because you are in a place to show the grace of God where I've never been. I've never proved the grace of God in a situation like that. But you're there now to prove it. This is your time to be able to exalt God and in the years to follow for you to be able to say, I was in a situation, a wife was leaving, she was ungodly, she wasn't living for the Lord, I was, and God helped me. He gave me the grace to live with an unsaved person. I blame it right on him. I can't do it. My wife's saved. I can't prove God's grace in this. I can't lift up his cause here. Never been there. But you have been. And if you're here today and you've had, or even in the middle of a struggling with the addictions of smoking or drinking or whatever you are, you're in a unique place to glorify God.
Yes.
See, I don't have an addiction. So I don't have to try it. I don't have to have the grace. But God will be glorified by the power that he can give you until you can stand and testify to the fact that God has the victory over those things. And I'm proof of it. And you can testify to the addict, those that's been had done drugs and all and been delivered. You can testify that God absolutely can deliver you from that kind of life and straighten you back out. I can't do it. Never been there. But you can. And it's the cause that's important. Because it's the cause that's going to save us all. It's a cause that the Lord, that the whole world needs. It isn't any individual. You remember when Elisha finally gets the mantle from Elijah and he comes and he's ready to use the power that he was given? Do you remember what he said?
Yep.
He called on the God of.
Yes.
He didn't call on Elijah.
No.
He said he called on the God of Elijah. The same God of Elijah was the God of Elisha. So it doesn't matter. I can go back through the list of faithful men that's been in my life. Brother Sammons, Brother Jim, Brother Stan. I can go through the men that meant something in my life. But it was only their God that did it. The Apostle Paul was an outstanding character, but he ain't no better than me. I have the same access to the same God that he did. The same God that gave him victory, give me victory. I ain't been bit by a snake, but the same God that kept him from dying from a snake bite can keep me from dying from one. The same one that gave him the victory over the persecutors can give him me victory over the persecutors. It's God that we want to exalt, and there's a cause, folks, that's bigger than we are. And I wanted to make an appeal to you today that you lift up that cause in your heart and life. And me, that means that I'm going to do whatever I can that God be glorified in my life. And I'm not going to succumb to the things of this world that would hurt the cause.
Yes.
And be able to be an overcomer in those kind of things. Of course, it definitely is bigger. Well, here in this passage of scripture, the Pharisees stood and prayed, I'm not all these things. Do all these good things. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went away justified, and the cause of God was glorified more by a publican than a religious Pharisee. Because the testimony that God is merciful rings. The man came and held his head down and said, Lord, be merciful. And he was.
Yeah.
Oh, we magnify the Lord for the mercy that he has on us. And God be glorified.
Yeah.
Lord, help us. I think I have one other scripture in James 4. James 4 and 1 says, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that warreth in your members? Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Listen, prayer is a wonderful thing. I believe in prayer. I've seen it work many times. But there's a lot of people that can testify to very deep and long prayers. It always astounds me how that works. How could a person sincerely be praying and do all that and never come to a knowledge of themselves? What do we pray for? What is prayer about? What's fasting about? Unless it's about getting ourselves into a place to hear.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, we try to move heaven and earth. We try to get things changed. Try to change our financial situation. We try to change whether somebody's after me or not, or our persecution. We pray about all these things. This says you pray amiss. But people can have long, tedious prayers, and they can be long in prayer and sacrifice much for prayer. And at the end of it, I'm saying, scratching my head and saying, that didn't work. Lord, help us. I've known of people that gave great devotions to the things of God and couldn't hardly get along with a person anywhere. And I have to say, if it don't work, folks, Brother Bruno used to say, if what you have don't work, get rid of it and get something that works.
That's right.
If this ain't working, change it. Get rid of it if it isn't working. Prayer is meant to work.
Yes.
But what are we listening? What are we praying for? Lord, help us. Lord, talk to us. Lord, help me to see and to understand. Help me to have your spirit. Help me to love people. Help me to be able to lift your cause up and build walk as you walk. The best ambassador for the cause of God was Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to walk in his footsteps, and as an ambassador of him, I need to walk the way he walked.
Yes, amen.
I need to have the compassion that he has and the mercy that he has, and to be able to see it the way he sees it. The apostles, folks, walked with Jesus. And you would have to say a lot of the times that they wasn't a great example of the cause. I mean, while they was here, he was having problems with them, wasn't he?
Yes.
There was one time, do you remember where there was an issue when the apostle said to the Lord, what a thing to say to him. Do you want us to call down fire?
Yes.
I imagine the Lord was, guys, come on. You've been with me and don't understand my mission yet. My mission isn't to call fire down on people. I could have called it down on you. I ain't calling fire down. Well, we'll get like that. Lord, lay it on them. He said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. You've been something completely different. I didn't come to destroy the world. I come that they might be saved. And there is a cause that you and I should dedicate ourselves. David says, and I'll repeat it to you. Is there not a cause this morning? Is there not something worth giving ourselves to? People give themselves to all kind of causes. Some bad, some good, some indifferent. Some that matter, some that don't. People go around waving flags and protesting for this cause and that cause, and we're anti this and pro this and over here, and I don't believe in abortion. Listen, I don't believe in abortion either. I think it's crazy. I think there's a higher way of dealing with it. If you get them all saved, then they wouldn't do that kind of stuff. Not only that, you'd save them from the other problems. They have all one big package. I believe in reaching the gospel out. But you never hate the people. People so get on a cause of the anti-abortion thing that we'll just blow up the people that do it. Come on! You want to call down fire on those people? Jesus don't want to call down fire on people. He wants us to show a grander way, a better way, a more noble way. A way that's above the world, a highway of holiness that walks over those kind of problems. We're not to be hateful or indifferent to people.
Amen.
I met a young girl up in Maine. She was from Kazakhstan, whatever, it was a place over, and it is a Asian European place somewhere, right? She was an Asian girl. And I got to talking with her, and she said she was over here kind of as a student exchange thing and all this stuff. And I was kind of talking with her a little bit. And I looked at her and said, "I'm glad you're here." And she kind of smiled a little bit. And I said, "'Cause I like everybody." And she got a big smile on her face and said, "Thank you, I do too." Welcome. We love everybody. Amen. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden." Do you know our arms should be as closed as it can be against sin and as open as it can be to all humanity?
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of different things in this earth coming up of people that's been warped and twisted and all these kind of things. And now there's an argument about what the genders are and all those kind of things. It's totally foolish. The Lord's already declared all that kind of stuff. But these are real people. I close myself to the sins that get them, but and the devil that provokes them. But I open my arms to all people because it's the Lord.
Yes.
It's the Lord and His cause that prevails. So Lord, help us today to put His cause. First cause. I didn't have a second cause, I think. But not anything that compares to my first cause. My first cause is not politics. I may have an opinion. First cause, what the Lord said. First cause, God's cause. When it don't match with this, it's not right cause. This is the cause. I may have opinions on some of the things going. Not my first opinion. My first cause is God. Because it's the only thing that's eternal. It's the only thing that's right. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.